Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I am coming to you.' If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray for our words, those which we speak and those which remain in our hearts. May our words be true and faithful to your word, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Dorothy isn't the only one who knows the importance of home. We all know the need. For some of us, it may be reminiscing about that place of our early childhood where we were safe and secure, before we worried even the slightest bit about what was next. For others of us, perhaps home isn't the early childhood home, but instead a space where we are most secure, where we experience acceptance and wholeness. For others, even still, that longing is yet to be fulfilled, a mystery that leaves us feeling orphaned. Home is ultimate hospitality. Home is safe space. Home is kindness and love, loyalty and trust. Sometimes it's surprising how quickly the desire for home can come on. It could be a smell or a memory, or some mysterious tug on the heart. Music can evoke that longing, whether it's a hymn or something your mother sang to you when you were little. Only a few notes can swing you right back into that forgotten place of home. It's almost like a son welcomed by a father who breaks all cultural etiquette to meet his long-lost son on the road. Or a doubter being shown proof. Or a guilt-ridden disciple being forgiven three times. It's like being led by quiet waters, or nurtured in a way you didn't even know you needed care. It's conversion to grace. It's home. In this morning's passage from John, Jesus assures us that we can stop seeking after home because wherever we journey is home. "Those who love me will keep my word," Jesus says, "and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." We don't need to long for home. We have become God's home. Throughout Scripture, we have evidence that God is seeking to make a home with us. God comes to us. God pursues us, seeking always to connect us back to the holy. God is pursuing in Genesis when God walks in the garden, and in Revelation when God creates a new heaven and a new earth with no more tears, no more grief. God seeks to bridge the gap between humans and the Holy One. In the Christmas story, and in the Easter story, and in every story in between. God wants to bridge the gap between us. Jesus, of course, is our most distinct bridge to this understanding that God is home. He was flesh and blood. He celebrated at weddings, and he cried at gravesides. He taught and loved his disciples and all those around him. And now in this passage from John, Jesus shows us one more distinct way that God is bridging the gap. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our bridge to God, our advocate, our helper, our teacher, our reminder, our peace giver. The Holy Spirit is our bridge to God. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will save them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Jesus continues so that it can make sense how it is that God will make a home in us. "I have said these things to you while I am still here with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." That last night before his death, as the disciples were gathered around him, Jesus gives his closing words of wisdom. Jesus did not say, "Guilt I leave with you, that crushing burden of pain and judgment I give to you, a list of requirements that you must meet in order to receive me, I leave with you." No. Jesus said, "Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." When I hear or read these words, I think of funerals. I can't help it. This is the benediction I have given at every funeral or memorial service I have ever officiated. They are the reminder of the kind of peace Jesus gives. Peace that can hold you steady, even in the face of death. This peace that Jesus gives is not the peace the world gives. When the world gives you peace, it comes wrapped in silence and beauty and blessing, like the dawn rising or the wind on your face when you're out on the lake. When the world gives you peace, it comes back as a lack of war, a lack of conflict, a lack of darkness. But the peace that Jesus gives doesn't need quiet or an absence of conflict. The peace Jesus gives works just fine, sometimes best, right in the middle of a storm. The peace God gives is that weird feeling that things are going to work out. Trust that God really is working things together for good. Hope that some resurrection will come from whatever death or grief is breaking your heart. This is the kind of peace that Jesus provides, and it stems from God's presence in our lives. Jesus reminds the disciples of this in John 14, God's continual presence through the Holy Spirit. Prior to this passage, Jesus is explaining his death to the disciples, that he is going where they cannot see him. And yet, Jesus reminds them, I will not leave you orphaned. Jesus promises his presence in the Holy Spirit. In this passage, as Jesus prepares his disciples for his coming death and resurrection, Jesus promises that he will not abandon them. Jesus promises that the bridge that has been created between humans and God in Jesus will continue. I have said these things while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. We don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit in Presbyterian circles, unless it's Pentecost, and we hear the dramatic story of the Spirit's movement in Acts and the starting of the early church. Otherwise, often the Spirit just sort of floats out there as this entity we don't fully understand. God, well, God creates. God does something quite concrete, making the earth and everything in it. And Jesus was God here on earth in flesh and blood. But the Spirit is this complicated form of God that we can't easily wrap our minds around. Jesus is helping us in these words in John to understand more clearly the Holy Spirit, the Advocate who teaches, reminds, brings peace, who lives in us and through us. This Advocate, the Holy Spirit, is our teacher. Jesus actually says the Holy Spirit will teach us everything, every discernment and understanding, every 2+2 discovery, every light bulb that goes off in our heads. In all of that, the Holy Spirit is at work, teaching and revealing. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. Everything. When we think of the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure we realize the day-to-day extent that God is at work in our lives regularly through the Holy Spirit. Not only in giant leaps in scientific discoveries and in amazing and profound theological thinking, but in each of us, in small ways, where we find new understanding or insight, new ways of thinking, and both the profound and the mundane ways we make everyday decisions. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Right away, Jesus says, when I leave, God will send you an Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will remind you of all that I have taught you. It's a homecoming, even after Jesus is gone. The Holy Spirit was at work in the disciples some 2,000 years ago as they regrouped and sought to follow Jesus, even in his absence. The Holy Spirit was at work in each of them as they remembered Jesus' teachings and began to spread that good word around more and more. The Holy Spirit was at work in those who wrote down what Jesus said in what is now the New Testament, the new promise in Jesus. The Holy Spirit was at work in Saul on the road to Damascus, now transformed into Paul. The Spirit is at work in our passage from Acts this morning as Paul is reminded of Jesus' teaching as he goes to Macedonia and makes disciples there, baptizing Lydia and her whole household. And now today, the Holy Spirit, our Advocate, is continuing to help us by reminding us of all that Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit is at work in us when we are reminded of scripture passages that help us get through a difficult time. The Holy Spirit is at work in us when we leave this worship space and are reminded at a later time of something that helps us act differently, more kindly, more generously to another person. The Holy Spirit is at work in us, reminding us of God's love and our call to share that love in action. Finally, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit brings peace. Not the kind that is simply the absence of war or the absence of disagreement or less chaos or difficulty in life. That's the kind of peace that the world asks God to give. Instead, Jesus promises us a new kind of peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid, says Jesus. The peace Jesus leaves with us that we receive from the Holy Spirit is peace that keeps our hearts from being troubled, even in troubling times. It is the kind of peace that keeps fear at bay, even when there are things yet to be feared. The kind of peace Jesus gives comes not because of a lack of chaos or troubles, but rather peace that comes with the gentle reminder that God is at work in all things. My peace, Jesus says, my peace will give you strength and courage even in the midst of trouble. For we come to you and we make our home with you. Some of us keep looking for that home, for that place where we will find hospitality and welcome, for some location that might fill an empty longing. I wonder if we're missing the point. Jesus, as the advocate, makes a home in us. What if we stopped seeking for some kind of home? What if we stopped clicking our heels? What if we claimed the Spirit of God living in us and through us? How might that save us? Not someday when we die, but this day and every day. May it be so. Amen.